Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Joining me at this time, filmmaker Christoph Schwarz, whose 15-minute essay film, The Best City Is No City at All, won the Austrian Short Film Award at the 17th edition of Vienna Shorts just a few days ago. So, Christoph, welcome to the show.
Hey, hey, Matt.
It's great to have you here. And first of all, congratulations. We will be talking about your film later. But first, you know, with all that's going on in the world, I just wanted to ask you how you're doing and how things are on your side of the world.
Great. I mean, like the normal social life just starting up already in Austria. So it's okay to meet friends again and see the family. But also, I had quite a creative and good artistic in artistic sense good weeks and good times. So I was quite efficient with my work because there were no other distractions.
Yeah, I understand that you've actually been filming, right? So the situation hasn't prevented you from doing your thing.
Yeah, I mean, like my way of filmmaking is very concentrated on myself. So I'm doing nearly everything in my films, and I'm also very often the protagonist. So it was no problem for me that I have to do everything on my own. So this came natural to me.
I'm happy to hear that. So now we can talk about The Best City Is No City at All. First of all, you know, for the listeners who are not familiar with this film yet, would you mind just maybe giving us a brief introduction? And please feel free to say as much or as little as you would like to say.
It's a film, let's say it's not a film about people. It's more a film about spaces. And my two protagonists are an old abandoned wooden church in the outskirts of Vienna. And the whole city expansion area there. So this is it's a new city which is built there on the field, on empty grass. I don't know how to say for cultural interim usage. I don't know if this is correct to say. This church is now used as an art space, an off space. So yeah, I use this art space, this like rather weird building as a protagonist and like in direct opposition of this new city, which I would say stands for progress and maybe also for this idea that we can save the planet with the help of smart design, let's say. And on the other hand, this old abandoned church, which stands for the past and for like a bit of nostalgic feeling, romanticized feeling of that, I don't know, maybe not everything which is new is better. And yeah.
Pardon my ignorance, which I will readily admit to, but what is an expansion era area?
Ah, okay. Well, maybe you have some. Maybe this is a bad translation, but like Vienna as a city has the feeling that it needs to grow. So you need to find new spaces in the outskirts of the city where you build new buildings, and like it's some kind of new satellite city, you could call it there.
Oh, right, right. No, I think that's the right term. I just didn't know what what it meant exactly, and I'm sure that. You know, I've been in cities where that is happening and I'm not even aware of it. But you are aware of the environment, what is going on around you, and you're interested in capturing it as it's expanding.
Yeah, definitely. I'm very interested in how the city plans its growth.
Are you fascinated with it? Are you frightened by it? What's your feelings about it?
I think it's a blend of all of this. And the thing is, I also grew up in this area. So there is, of course, like my own personal, like memories of this place somehow. And I mix everything, but it's not a like direct criticism on this specific project, which I think in comparison to other like city expansions in other parts of the world, I think they did also very many things in a good and right way. So it has more this universal approach.
You know, I was watching it and it reminded me a bit of the early works of Wim Wenders. I don't know whether he would be an influence of yours.
I couldn't say so. I don't know his early works. Maybe I have to check them out.
Yeah, what he did, and actually he spoke at length about this, is that he would just capture things. And whether it would be a wall, especially in his early films, he would just capture these inanimate objects. And the meaning behind it was, well, I'm capturing it because they may not be here this time next week or next month or whenever. So it's a way to just keeping their memory alive. Do you kind of also have a similar, you know, drive for in your works?
Yeah, like in this film, I can pretty much connect to this idea, because I have I'm a good friend of the artistic director of this space, and I wanted to document it before it will be gone. So this summer, this church will be dismantled again, and the artistic director, he will give all these wooden blankets and like all these pieces away to collectors and friends, and then it will be gone. And in a few years, there will be, I don't know, a supermarket and a shopping mall at this spot. So yeah.
Oh, right. So it just keeps moving, basically.
Yeah.
In the concept of church, the church itself, I mean, does it matter in the terms of what you want to say in the film, that it's actually a church, so it's a religious space?
Of course, for this space, it's very interesting that it was used as a church for 40 or 50 years. But somehow, I mean, the German term for it is called Notgalerie, which means like emergency gallery, because it was called emergency church in the 1950s, because like many churches were destroyed in World War II, so they needed to build like churches again, and they called it emergency church because it looks like a, I don't know, wooden shed basically. But for the artists who are doing exhibitions and performances there, of course, it's interesting that it has this religious background somehow. Because I think there is when you compare religion and art, I mean, there is some overlapping in these fields, let's say.
There is an endless number of overlappings. You're totally right about that. In fact, there's an overlapping with cinema as well, when you think about it.
Yeah.
So I wondered as well about the creative use of subtitling in this film. Can you tell me about this, and also why you maybe decided to go for the subtitling instead of something like voiceover narration or something like that?
In the original version has a German off voice, a female German off voice telling the story, like from my perspective, and from the perspective of the artistic director of the emergency gallery, and you never really know where the border is between those different perspectives. And the English version by now has only English subtitles, but like in many older films of mine, I also used re-recorded the off voice in English, but this time I didn't do it because I had the feeling that somehow maybe it's not so interesting for an international audience. But now I'm talking to an English podcast, maybe I should do an English off voice also, I don't know.
I think I think it works very, very well with the subtitles, actually, because you get to hear the sounds of the landscape. But in this sense, do you feel like there are differences? I mean, it's an obvious question, really, but maybe you can just, you have opinions about it that are interesting. Between experiencing this film with the subtitles alone and experiencing it with the voiceover, I mean, do you feel there are important differences besides, obviously, the sound one?
Well, I think, I mean, it's a different movie. Obviously, the main idea would be that you can concentrate on these cinematic big pictures and that you can hear the audio, but I also kind of like it when you hear the original voice in a language you don't know, and you have to read the subtitles. So like I would never watch dubbed movies. I really hate it, but I can imagine that I would also do a English off voice version of it.
Cool. So you know what's interesting as well, I was watching this film, and what I was thinking was that in some sequences, some of these images are not like those that we have seen over the past few weeks of deserted city streets around the world due to the lockdown. Have you been thinking about that?
Not yet, but yeah. At several points, I think you see some people around, but I have also the feeling that if you have an off voice talking about like meeting with people, it's much stronger if you have to imagine them. So that's why I always like to work with empty cities and empty locations, and the audience has to imagine all these things. But I guess after the Corona weeks, maybe we have a different viewpoint on this. Matt, can I ask you another question on the other hand? Because I don't know, but for me, like if you have an audience who listened to this interview so far already in like 8 minutes, it would be no problem for me to give away a link to this film by saying it now, then people can also watch it.
Yeah, go right ahead. Yeah, you can give your, that's fine.
Yeah, so you don't have to post it, but if you hear me, you can just go to like vimeo.com, obviously, and then / Bleninger, Bleninger, and / no city.
There you go. So anyone can check that out.
Yeah.
It's out there for the people. But I was also thinking about the stories of events that you tell in the film, and I was wondering whether these were all things that happened to you or that you maybe imagined.
I think it's a big blend of it. It's a mix, because obviously I have these memories of this space, and I was also part of the curatorial team of this emergency gallery. So many things are just like documentary shots of exhibitions and performances there. But because I don't really like mention this, I have the feeling that people could understand it also rather as props. Mm. I don't know if you understand it. So it's never clear if this is like an installation in an art space, or maybe it's just an installation props for the film. So I think this is a very creative way of using documentary pictures as if it's like fiction.
Oh, right. So you would consider this film as if it was blending the two forms, fiction and documentary.
Totally.
Do you like that type of hybrid? Are you interested in this type of work?
I'm only doing films like this. I mean, that's like the main work that I keep my audience awake by mixing this all the time.
Is that somehow related to the way in which you like to perceive life?
Yeah, I mean, it happens to me also like very, very often that I make something up for my movies, but in the end, it turns out true. And like fake it till you become it. I sometimes never know if it was a joke or a made up story of a film of mine, or if it really happened to me. And this is happens even more easily because there is no crew around me, so there is no point where I say, okay, cut. And so it's like I'm using my camera all the time and mixing those two worlds.
Fake it till you become it sounds like the story of my life. But you, it's just you then making these films. I mean, you don't have a crew with
yeah.
you?
Yeah, I mean, I had the sound designer working with me later on because I knew that I want to use the sounds of the construction site. And I knew that because I don't have any moving image, let's say. And I mean, of course, it's nice in the movie theater to have these big shots, but I had the feeling that, of course, there need to be some kind of sound design. But besides this, there was nobody really involved, except of all the artists who like trusted me that it's okay that I can use their art pieces for my stories.
I just wanted to end our interview with this final question. One of the ways in which obviously the lockdown has impacted the film world is that people are generally not allowed to go to the cinema. I mean, the cinemas are closed. I reckon that this film would be very powerful when it's watched on a big screen because of just its immersive images. I mean, what do you think about that, the situation with cinemas? And do you think that maybe this film should be experienced on a big screen?
Yeah, totally. It was made for the big screen. But I think like for every movie, the cinema is the best setting. The theater is the best setting. And I hope that people that they understood that there is something missing and that they will start going to the theaters. And yeah, I'm totally fond of these settings. And I think we really have to work on that. We keep the theaters, because I don't know if the situation in the UK, but in Austria, it's more that you already need some subsidies that the theaters can survive showing art house movies. But it's so important. So I could also imagine that the theaters and the movie cinemas, that they transform to some kind of film museums, and that you treat these art house films like art pieces, like in museums. And this is the only way to watch those films.
Excellent. So would you like to maybe repeat the link to the film, just in case people missed it the first time around?
Yeah, I mean, if you're really listening to this, then this should be the reward that you can watch it. So like I have this channel, vimeo.com/Bleninger. This is like one alter ego of mine. Like I will spell it again. It's BLENINGER, Bleninger /NoCity.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much, Christoph. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt, for having me.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.